It's coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour your cup. Join us. We'll be with you right after this song.
Roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel.
That old wheel.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Keep on rolling, and when she comes up rolling around, I hope there's some snake guts hanging down off the wagon wheel. We pray before we come onto this broadcast, and I say we, I talk about I and the Radio Ranch Wranglers that are with me right now. We pray before the broadcast, and you know, I've changed the prayers a little bit in regards to how we pray. And that is, I pray, Lord, don't let me be found giving what is holy to the dogs, throwing pearls to the swine, casting bread to the dogs, and Lord, those that are to see, help us to help them to see, and those that are not to see because they have put idolatry in their hearts and their minds, they choose the way of the world and things of the world above the Son of God. This is not for them. This is for the remnant and for those that God's calling to say, come on in, be a part of that few, the few that make it through. Oh, what a great time to live. And so, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I, Pastor Peters, and my Radio Ranch Wranglers. Let's see, we got Jason down there. Are you on the line, Jason?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, that's good to have you. And how about Charismatic Kyle? Rides the mule, he does.
Yes, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. And then we got Richard right here with Pastor Peters. We got these other two hooked up by telephone line, and Richard's with me. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, sir.
And so the way we do this Radio Ranch Wrangler coffee time in Saturday mornings, we just turn the mic on basically after prayer. After the song, we say, let her go. And I normally just pick someone to open the chute gate and come on out. Let's do it with old Kyle, shall we? Charismatic Kyle, what do you got to say today?
Well, I'm down here at Jason's, you know, we're printing a little songbook for Branson, and so I don't have my sword with me, which I should have brought it anyway, wasn't thinking about doing the show, but anyway. But we did miss last Saturday, so I'd like to update people a little bit on what happened to me the week before. I went back to my mother's in Oregon for the second Passover chance, and I went to a Church of Christ on a Sunday morning. Now, I went to the early one. It was like 8:15 in the morning, and to make a long story short, the preacher did a pretty decent sermon, and he seemed like a pretty decent guy. You know, he's a love-only guy. I mean, you could tell that from the get-go. But the thing that caught my attention was the, I don't know what you'd call them, assistant pastors or, you know, singers, the people that did communion. He was surrounded by obvious snakes. You know, I mean, I don't have a clue what their names were, you know, where they came from. I mean, they were white folks, but some of them looked evil. Some of them talked effeminate. And, you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, you know, the guy ain't too bad, the head pastor. He ain't too bad, but, you know, he surrounds himself with all these snakes. What chance do these people have for, you know, to be led to the truth? I mean, it just really opened up my eyes to what's going on, you know, out there in the church world that I don't, you know, I haven't seen for quite a few years now, so it was kind of an awakening thing. Anyway, that's what I'll start out with.
Well, that's a good starting point. You know, the longer, folks, if you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the Holy Spirit, and you really are asking, you begin to be able to see the tares versus the wheat. And the hardest ones to see are the ones that's real close to you. And that preacher, I can guarantee you, they are probably charming, probably stroke him, and he cannot see what he's got there. But they've come in around him. But when you get away from that, by the way, was that an instrumental or a non-instrumental Church of Christ?
It was a non-instrumental. They just sang. Pretty uh-huh. good singers, but yeah, it was no instrument.
Right. Well, anyway, I think that's a good way to start because they're there. You're seeing them all the time. I know that when I and some others went to, about a year and a half ago, went out to Nashville, Tennessee, to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. On Sunday morning, I went across the street to what they call Cowboy Church because I've heard it on the satellite radio for years going to church. They got some good singing there, and then they'll have a preacher come on. And I wanted to see it because I'd always heard it on the radio. When I went there, it was so obvious that the preacher of that cowboy church was a Edomite, and he was just leading those sheep astray. He's married to Johnny Cash's sister, and they had their music, and they were they had a lot of good music. That's why I really went. I always enjoyed listening to it, was the music. But point is I could see, and a few years ago I could not see the serpent, but now you can see them more. And if for those out there listening that are of that remnant that want to have eyes to see and ears to hear, you'll begin to see them more and more all the time. Jason, what do you got?
Well, I was thinking about that, you know, talking about them in these churches, and I was thinking about that movie, X-Men. You ever seen the movie X-Men?
Yes. Yeah.
In that movie, they were looking for one of these demon alien. I guess it were aliens, and they went and they were looking for this one, and they found. I was thinking about the scene where they found this one, and they were chasing this alien who has disappeared and reappeared, and they found him in a church, and that's where they had to go to find him, and it was a old church, and he was perched up on the up in the rafters of the church
like
he
a bird
perched up there like a dirty bird.
There was a message there, wasn't there?
There was a message there, and I was thinking about that. You know, I mean, it's so clear. It's these dirty birds are perched in churches, and they there's if you read the book of Enoch on the Watchers, they're real. I mean, there's no denying it. And they have a home. I think they're all drawn into a church to keep an eye on things, to see to it that things don't get too out of hand, and to lead people astray. There's certain things that they don't want preached in the churches. They don't want preached, you know, baptism for the remission of sins. They don't want preached the sword of the Lord. They don't want snakes being preached on. They don't want the wicked being preached on. They don't want tares being preached on. They got a whole list of things.
And they want a whole lot of love preached on.
They want a love. They want to preach that love spell that sends to hell, but they don't want you to get too close to the truth. And about the time when somebody starts saying, well, look at this, and digging into their Bible and saying, well, maybe we should look at this, or maybe we should talk about this, you know, then all of a sudden they'll come down on them with a 10-pound hammer and say, wait a minute, you know, you got a problem. You just, you know, you need to, you know, that's something that I think you should stay away from. And they'll make a person feel guilty about looking into the deeper things of the Word of God.
That's the way it works, for sure. You know, I was thinking about that movie. You'd mentioned that movie, the X-Men.
Yeah.
We might consider certain scenes from it and show it at the Branson men's meeting.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking that would make a really good men's meeting class. You know, some of the stuff in that movie.
You know, like that one scene where they were showing Abe Lincoln.
Yes.
And to show that to the men and let them see the message that they give, because I think the enemy, one of the weak spots the enemy has, yeah, is they have to tell. But they tell in such a way that nobody can know they're telling. But if we can point out and show how they tell, it reveals their hand.
Right, right. You know, I think it boils down to, it's one of the laws of warfare that they recognize it as a law that they have to follow. And I think that it gives them success when they do it, because they put it before our eyes. They follow. You know, it's like one of these, it's like a law of science. You put your enemies on notice, and then you can do to them what you put before them, you know, what you tell them.
Yeah, I think so. By the way, that I want to apologize to our audience for the background noise that we got. It's coming the phone line. I think it's because a lot of our lines out here are wet underwater this time of year with irrigation water, and it's Kyle's line, so right now I've got Kyle muted. He couldn't say anything if he wanted to, because you don't hear it there. They've got to tell. So let's tell them that monitor us, you're going down.
Amen.
You're going to burn. You're going to be bound, bundled, and burned in fire. And day is coming, go look around, and you're no more. So, you've been told, too. Richard, what do you got to tell?
Well, I think right along the lines, in early Matthew 3, John the Baptist could see those brood of vipers. You know, he could see that, you know, that these people that were even coming down for repentance weren't. In Matthew 3... it says, then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district, and they were being baptized by him, John, in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. And so, you know, there was a revival going on. John was down baptizing, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming out for baptism, and that's what they do. You know, Kyle mentioned these dirty birds that are these associate pastors and song leaders and stuff back there in Oregon. Oh, they'll get baptized. They'll come out and do that. But John the Baptist could see him, and he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance." You know, the Amplified tells of that, says, "Let your lives prove your change of heart." He could see that they were as the King James would put it, bastards. And so he told them, you know, the wrath is coming. It's coming upon you. And if you claim to be what you are, you go get baptized with it. You can get baptized with it, but you've got to bear fruit. And that was something that they cannot do. You know, the bad tree cannot bear good fruit.
Just can't do it. Yeah. By the way, you're unmuted again, Kyle, so you can talk too.
I was talking and said some pretty good stuff, but you had me muted.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, it goes on to say right after this, he says, bring forth fruit. And then he says, do not suppose you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. And, you know, every now and then you'll get one of those Aryan nations or some of those that'll come out of that group and will start contacting us. The, you know, you've got the saved by nothing but grace group over there. But you've got some of those that are that think they're saved by race. And right. This right here clearly says, don't think you can say because Abraham's your father, you're making it.
Right.
But again, it's by their fruits. By their fruits you shall know them.
Did you ever hear the message that I did called The Close Shave with Skinheads?
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah.
I'll tell the people about that experience. It just came to my mind because you're talking about these. There are white supremacist type things. And they believe saved by grace. I mean, by race. And I was invited to speak at a skinhead gathering down in, Tennessee, I think it was. And this was many years ago. And it there was rock music, skinheads, tattoos, quite an outfit. And I nearly got mobbed because I got up and started preaching on some things. As I look back, and I recognize, though, that there were a couple of ringleaders that came forward screaming at me and working the crowd out against me. In fact, a couple of the men there, good men, put bodyguards around me to make sure I wasn't going to get nailed by these guys. But as I look back now, the snakes were in that movement. They get in all these different movements and stir up in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And they did that in that gathering. I'd forgotten all about that. Jason, we'll go back to you.
Well, I was thinking about your sermon last Sunday a lot this week. You know, that message that you brought was something I definitely needed to hear. And you based it on the Ezekiel 14 passage, where basically, to paraphrase it, you know, we're not supposed to be given what's holy to the dogs. Is, you know, as Christians, you know, when we're dealing with non-Christians, you talked about we're able to and should be giving them the salvation message, how to become a Christian, how to be saved. But if they ain't going to listen to that, and don't want to hear that part of the message, then we really don't have anything else that we should be sharing with them. And that has hit home with me because, you know, I like talking to people, you know, and I've got a few people that I talk to, and, you know, we're always talking about what's going on in the world and, you know, what do you think's going to happen? What do I think's going to happen? You know, going back and forth. And this week was just different because, you know, I told them, you know, basically I've told you, you know, what you need to do to become, to get saved from the destruction to come. And if you ain't going to listen to that, then there ain't no sense telling you anything else. And there's kind of a freedom when you get to that point and take a stand that way. And I think it's going to make a big difference.
Oh, I do too. I think that's a very important message that God gave me. Now, I've had some people contact me and say, oh, I don't agree with you, Pastor Peters. I think you're taking on too much yourself and so forth and so on. And I thought to myself later, that's a dangerous position for them to be in because they become my validators rather than my pupils.
Right.
In other words, they're now listening and they think in their mind they've grown so much that they understand better than I do. And I actually brought them an understanding that they never understood before, because they can't understand it. They're going to come and tell me I'm wrong. No, I'm not wrong. That passage is true. God will punish the prophet that tells you more than you deserve to know. If you will not, ladies and gentlemen, do the first step in becoming a Christian, surrendering your life in obedience to Christ is called repentance and being baptized for the remission of sins. You won't do that. You don't deserve to know anything else. And that's that simple. And if I go beyond that, the Lord's made it very clear, I'm going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, you'll bring the wrath of God upon yourself.
Right.
Which is something you don't want to do. And what some people don't realize is if you're convicted of something that you did is wrong, you know, if somebody goes and prays and says, you know, is there something I've done wrong? You know, have I brought the wrath of God upon myself? And the Lord gives you something and makes you feel guilty about doing something and you repent of it, praise the Lord. You know, that's an answer to prayer.
Particularly when he brings it to you in the Word.
Yeah, exactly.
When you see it in the Word, and there it is, aha, I messed up. Now, praise God. You
now
confess your sin,
and
you'll
there's change, and you move on.
Yeah.
And you know, and that passage is, we had talked about it before, and I think that, you know, there was a couple of times where, you know, it seemed like there was a trap being set, you know, trying to get you to prophesy on something or tell somebody something when they didn't deserve to know, when they really didn't want to know. It was like they were setting a trap, and that's just kind of the feeling I got. And but I think that it's something that can come in so subtle, and you know you think you're doing the right thing and you're trying to save these people, because you know there's a destruction coming and you want as many people to be saved from that destruction as possible. But when it comes down to it, you know, like you said, if they can't receive the simple things and repent and become a Christian and follow him, you know, then they don't deserve to know.
And you know, I think Jason, it ties right in with that. I think is one of the simple things is the name. You know, we'll have people
good
that'll
point.
Call or write in, and you know, we'll, you know, what about this? What about that? And I think it's kind of hard for us at times to discern and to know the difference between when there is somebody that's truly maybe a babe in Christ that has heard this, you know, and just wants to know about it, versus somebody that's been with the pastor since the very beginning. I've been with Pete since the very old, way back then, forever and ever, and then they're wanting to talk about it. And you know, brother, if you have been with this ministry from the very beginning, if you've been listening for the last 6 months, you should understand the name issue and this ministry's position on it. But you still have those out there that will come under false pretenses, you know, and they know more. They're not entering in, and they know it, and they want to do all they can to keep us and others from entering in. And they come with false pretenses, thinking that telling us they want to learn when they're just wanting to draw people away.
Good point. You know, along that, it brings another point to my mind, going a different direction. Did you have more you wanted to cover on that, Jason?
No, that was it.
Well, the other point that comes to my mind is Richard and I were talking the other day about the fact he had talked to McCanny. Now, McCanny is a scientist that we have on our Scriptures for America broadcasting network. And he was telling Richard, well, Richard, you tell him the story.
Well, we called and ordered some more books from him, and he just said, wanted me to share it with you, that some lady had created some websites and had a bunch of McCanny's work, quotes and references there, where it looked like she and McCanny were on the same page and he was supporting what she was saying. And she was had on there where she had talked with aliens and all kind of stuff, and made it look like that McCanny was supporting her and what in all that work. And he said that you know, he had just found out about it, but it was very upsetting to him. And so I told him, I said, so she's just got all this stuff just to discredit you. And he said, yeah, that's what it seems like. And I told him, welcome to the club, because that's basically what they do.
Yeah, I think about this fellow that he asked me to pray for him, and I have prayed for him. And he's set up a spreadsheet, and he's got everything figured out as to what's going to happen on this day and that day and these last days. Mm-hmm. And to put a lot of work into it, all this and that. But here's the point. I noticed that he references our ministry from this standpoint. It's a ministry that's preaching truth out there and recommends that people listen to us because we're preaching truth. But what he's doing, whether he knows it or not, I'm not so sure he does. Maybe he doesn't. And maybe he does. But it appears that I would agree with the things that he's saying, that he's in agreement, Peters is in agreement with me, and I don't. You know, this guy said, well, you can keep the Passover either on the solar or on this other day because this other day fits in better and
right.
So forth. But the praise and accolades of this ministry preaching truth is put in there in such a way that it will actually cause people to think, in my opinion, that I'm agreeing with what this false prophet teaches. So it's a trick of the devil.
Well, speaking of false prophets, Kyle, I got an email today from one of your May 21st buddies.
See, now there you are, tying me in with those guys.
Well, that's right.
Making it seem like I agree with them.
You brought it up previously, but I guess there's a big push that this end of the world comes May 21st. The Doomsday Merchant, I guess is what they say. And it's interesting, though, that the same Doomsday Merchant predicted that the world would end on September 4th, 1994. But that was a mistake, he says. But now he's got it right.
Got it right this
time. You know, and so this, along with what you're talking about, that other false prophet, they say it's on a certain day. The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. Let me think about this for
now.
A
what's he
time.
Saying? Is he saying Christ comes back that day, or what is it that's supposed to happen on the 21st?
Let's see here. The end of days. There are many scriptures talking about sudden destruction. It goes through days. Talks about massive earthquakes coming, global earthquake, the greatest ever, Judgment Day, May 21st.
You know, what's interesting about that is this. May 22nd, starting at noon, May 22nd, let me put it that way, our calendar day of May 22nd, is a very, very important day. And there, so he's off a day.
Yep, day of Pentecost.
Yep, it's the day of Pentecost. And that's next Sunday. Not tomorrow, but the next Sunday.
Right, right.
And I have a special message for that day. And I'll guarantee you, I'll be there, God willing, I should say. But let me put it this way. I'll guarantee you that the world will be here on May 22nd to hear. Yeah, and if the Lord allows me to be here, they will hear an important message that has to do with, it's a last day message. But it'll be on the 22nd of May, not the 21st. So we'll put that little tidbit out for...
For all those people that don't go to that judgment and don't get to the destruction, you can join us on the 22nd.
Yes.
Tell them how they can join us.
And you can join us by going to scriptureshoramerica.org And in the top left-hand column, we're going to be broadcasting live from the LaPorte Church of Christ at, well, we get started with our live video streaming at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. So you can join us that way, and we'll be broadcasting in audio and in video. So if you're on a slower internet connection or something like that, then you might just want to hook on to the audio section. But if you've got good internet, just hit the video live video streaming button, and we'll be broadcasting live in video.
You know, you guys, you know, you kind of act like you changed the subject, but really this is all the same subject. And that is, you know, whether you go on from the skinheads to these false prophets, none of them pass the shibboleth test. You know, some of them might talk about Abraham, their father, you know, or Jacob or whatever, but they don't talk about repentance because, like, I mean, I've met a few skinheads in my life, and I don't think they have a repentant bone in their body. You know, they think that, you know, just because of who they are and the color of their skin,
right,
that they got a free pass. You know,
yep.
And you talk about these false prophets, and you talk about this, you know, whoever this is saying May 21st or whatever. When it's all said and done, you get right down to it, and you ask them, you know, how are you become a Christian, or how are you saved? They can't even pass the simple test of the milk of the word. You know.
Good point. Hey, I want to point out that next Sunday, when we're kind of putting this tantalizer out there for coming to church, what I'm going to be bringing a message, we'll also have a scriptural insight and study that I think you're going to find very interesting, unless I change my plans. I'll have a guest with me on my scriptural insight and study. And it has to do, well, it has to do with what I'm going to preach tomorrow. Now, tomorrow, the sermon title is Get Your Butts Out of Here. And don't go getting offended now. You have no idea what I'm going to be talking about. But if you come, you'll hear what I have to say. And then the following Sunday, Scriptural Insight and Study with my guest, we're going to talk about some real deep meanings of Scripture in regards to body, mind, soul, and spirit, and getting things lined up. So that's just a week from tomorrow will be a very interesting Sunday because of that Scriptural Insight and Study we've got planned for you. And because of the message that we're going to bring on the day after the world's supposed to have the great doomsday. And tomorrow, you'll be surprised what this message is about when I say get your butts out of here. Go ahead.
And I was just going to say, for those out there who don't know what the day of Pentecost was, you know, that's the day that the Holy Spirit, you know, fell upon all those apostles there, and they start speaking in many different tongues, and everybody there from all different areas of the land could understand them in their own language. You know, I mean, just in case there's some out there that don't know what happened on the day of Pentecost.
And that day of Pentecost, penta meaning 50, came 50 days after the day of Passover. And so that's where we end up May 22nd at noon. Good point, because, you know, we get to talking like everyone knows what we're talking about, and they don't. In the book of Acts, when that plan of salvation was given, that was given, ladies and gentlemen, on the on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. These are exciting days, aren't they, men?
Yes, they sir, are. They are.
They are.
And one thing that's happening, I think, in these days is that Daniel said in the last days, knowledge would increase. And I believe that that's what's happening to us, is that we are getting an increase in spiritual understanding that's going to destroy our enemy.
You know, Peter said here in Acts, just what you're talking about there, and he quotes the old scriptures. He says, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind. And that's what happened then, because it was an end of an age at that time. It was an end of an age.
Yes.
And that's where we're at again today.
And the beginning of a new age.
The beginning of a new age.
How exciting.
And you hear so much. Mr. McKinney had mentioned it. You hear people call in all the time. You hear about this comet and all this Elenin and all the different names that they have for this that's coming in. And you read a little further here in Acts, the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And I understand that there's different meanings for that as well. But
and sometimes new meanings.
Yes. But, you know, people are sure seem to be awakening up that they realize that these earthquakes and the famine we've had in the past and the pestilence that comes but mainly these earthquakes and tsunamis and the floods that are going on in the Midwest right now.
You know,
they're setting records. These things have never happened to this extent before.
One of our listeners sent me a communique and pointed out something I hadn't thought about. He says, you think, this is paraphrase form, but basically what he's saying is that you think that Mississippi's flooding now? He said up in Montana, he says, we got snowpack like we haven't had for years. And he said, it hadn't started melting yet. And you see these rivers like that come out of Montana, guess where they dump into?
Yeah, they all go to Mississippi.
Yeah, so as the saying goes, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yep. You know, right around here, we are, last year at this time, we were at about 100 to 102% snowpack. And that's, they take the 30-year average of how the snowpack is in the mountains up here in the Snowies and the Raywas and different places. Right now, we're at about 200%. Now, we're flooded in the Laramie River Valley now, but just because of flood irrigation off of the river. But the river has not flooded yet. You know, it's running at about 2.5 feet, which is not much for us. But they're expecting about the second week of June for it to peak anywhere from 6 to 8 feet. They don't know. And so just little old towns like us in Laramie we're looking at flooding out. You talk about the latter rain being poured out, at least in the physical. Here it comes.
So are you telling me I should get some hip waders?
Yes, your mud boots aren't going to work anymore in about 2 weeks.
Back to you, Jason.
Back to me. I had a scripture that I was reading this morning, and I wanted to read it while we were on here before we ran out of time. I don't know how much time we got left. But
Well, just so you know, we've been going about, it looks like about 40 minutes.
40 minutes, okay. Well, the scripture is Psalms 119, and it says, "How blessed are those who walk, whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed. When I look upon all your commandments, I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly." And I think that that's just, you know, with it talking about everything bad and everything that's going on and the destruction and everything, that's the state of mind we should be in, and that's where our hearts need to be. And that's a good psalm right there to read and to, you know, to meditate on, to think about, you know, and make sure that that's where your heart is, because when the destruction comes, it's coming one way or another, whether it's on the 22nd, the 23rd, who knows when it's coming. We don't know, but we do know that it is coming.
Well,
and there's going to be a return of the Lord.
Let's correct that a second.
Okay.
I don't mean to be harsh here or embarrass you, but I'm going to take exception to what you're saying. And that is this. It's not coming. Friends, it has been coming. You know, what do you think the fires are in California?
Birth pangs.
Uh-huh. Well, what do you think the fires are in Texas? You know, what do you think the tornadoes were? You know, it's not that destruction is coming. The destruction has come upon us, and I think to make it more clarifying, it's coming more. That's what you're saying, Jason.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's coming more. I want people to see that, hey, we're right there in it right now. Go ahead. I'm
Well, that's okay. Yeah, that's well, and that's what I was meaning to say. Sorry if I didn't.
No, that's
that way,
that's but, why I hope I'm not being nitpicky, but I wanted to get across to our audience. I knew that you understood that.
You know, it's here and it's coming, and we need to. You know, the ones that are going to be saved are the ones that are marked with that seal, and that have their hearts right with the Lord. And that's what we need to be worrying about.
Yes.
You know, or not worrying about, but that's where we need to be.
Right. Mm-hmm. You notice one thing, too. As we grow in grace and knowledge, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pathway gets narrower. And so we walk more cautiously. And I notice that all of us, we have to start watching our words more all the time, don't we?
Yes.
Yes.
Because they're just kind of hemming us in here and say we're walking that straight and narrow. We're striving to enter in to that new age. Yeah, it's a good point. And it's coming as far as you might say, the big one.
Yeah.
the big ones are coming.
Right. But, you know, we're to be found yearning for that. And hastening that to come, because as it comes, it will come as destruction for the ungodly.
Right. Well, I like the illustration of the fact that you take a baby when it's being born. It's that's a traumatic experience it's going through, because
it's traumatic for anybody that's present. Yes, I can attest to that.
And the baby is very comfortable in the womb the way it was. And now it's going through these birth pangs. But once it's all over, there's such a new world waiting, it would never go back to what it had. And that's the way we got to look at it. There's an exciting new world awaiting for us that's going to make it through.
You know, I've just got a real basic word I'd like to put out, or verse to give to everybody, and it's just at the beginning of Proverbs 3, and this is, you know, of course, one of the places that we start our children out, but it Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And it's just, you know, it's just a simple basic on under the heading of the rewards of wisdom. But that's where we have to be when this end of the age comes upon us, is not lean upon our own understanding, but trust in the Lord, trust in his word. And usually we stop right there, but the first little part of the next verse, it will be healing to your body.
That's good scripture, don't you think, Kyle?
Yeah, it's a fantastic scripture, and it's for some reason the "do not be wise in your own eyes" really hits home. I mean, I don't know how many times in my past, you know, there's been times where I got myself in trouble because I thought I knew more than I knew, you know. And now, I try to stay in that peace of mind where as a fleshly man, I am nothing. You know, I'm only something through Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You know, and occasionally I get the chance to talk to somebody that doesn't understand that yet. You know, I mean, and they are wise in their own eyes, and you can't get through to them. You know, I mean. I have no idea who you talked to earlier about your last Sunday sermon, but you know, I went home and repented, like Jason said, you know, he did. You know, I went home and repented because I've been in these arguments about the law or certain things in the scripture, a little bit deeper subjects, you know, and I'm arguing with somebody who refuses to believe the simplest of things, you know, and that's on me, you know. And so, you know, I went home, you know, and repented and said, I'm sorry, Lord, that I've did that, you know. And a lot of that has to do with pride and things like that, you know, where, you know, you want to be right about everything, you know. Well, you know, you put the truth out there, and they, you know, ever since you brought that duster out, you know, I mean, that's really hit home to me. You know, if they don't accept it, you know, I wish they would, but I'm moving on. You know, I got other people, you know, to try to help.
Amen. Well, isn't that just how Jesus was? Here it is. And then he'd move on somewhere else. He crammed, I don't know of him cramming anything down anybody's throat.
Yeah, he didn't say, okay, hold a second. Let me come at this a different way.
Right. Let me get you to understand the Koine Greek versus the Blakkan Greek. Here it is. My sheep hear my voice. Some heard him, some didn't.
Right.
And shouldn't we be that way today? Here it is.
Well, like Jason said, it's there's a freedom when you think about it. It's, hey, you're free. We care about these people. We want to help them. We want to save them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But when you get right down to it, the Apostle Peter said, save yourself. In other words, do what I said to do. That's what you got to do.
Buy wisdom, I think Proverbs says. And it's his word. Spend your time. You know, what you have to spend, don't spend your time in front of the TV. Don't spend your time listening to these false prophets, whether they're Mormon Boy Beck or Jonesy or whoever it is. You think that you're getting, you know, you're going to, you know, get the right silver and gold investments from them and make it through. Spend your time wisely.
Yeah.
Buy that which does save.
Mentioning Beck, I was thinking the other day about, well, I tell you, I was in the barbershop this week. And I picked up one of those People's magazines. I like to see what they have to say and what's going on in the world. And they had a deal on there on Charlie Sheen again. And they showed a picture of Charlie Sheen with his two goddesses. And these two women hookers that live with him. And of course, Charlie Sheen is a butty of Alex Jones. You know, birds of a feather flock together, friends.
Yep.
But anyway, I thought to myself, this is a little off different subject direction, but I thought to myself, you know, if I had a couple women and I paid them so much a month so I could get them to sleep with me when I needed them, the world would call them whores. And they call, and I rightly so, they should anyway, I should rightly be called a whoremonger. But with Charlie, it's his goddesses. and the people that hold him up as just one of their idols, they'll accept the fact when that little snake stands up there and introduces you to his two whores. Pretty little things they are. It looked to me like they're pretty little gals. And he calls them his goddesses. Hey, they're whores. They're prostitutes, yeah. Man. But yet, when people accept that, because he is their one of their god idols, they'll accept goddess. And of course, who gets to sleep with goddesses? Gods. And that's what he is to the people, so many people. And him and old Alex Jones, buddy buddies, birds of a feather flock together.
They are I do idols.
I do idols.
to pull something from Sunday's sermon as well. Yep, I do idols.
We go whatever direction you can imagine here on these Wrangler gatherings, don't we?
That we do.
Jason, back to you.
Back to me. Well, I don't know. It sure seems like things have speeded up, I should say, since the turn of the solar year. And that's kind of interesting, and it's worth mentioning that, you know, we are in that 11 year, and we're in that solar year 11. But when things really, really seemed to make a big change was after you published that book, Revealing the Man of Sin. And I think that if you look back through, was that in 2004 that you published that?
I don't know. Do you remember, Richard?
It was back in there, 4, 5, 6, something like that. I don't know if it was that long ago, quite 7
years. Actually, I think it was 2007.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it written down here. 2007 is when that started, when you published that book. And going back and starting looking at the headlines since 2007, things really started picking up speed after 2007, which is kind of interesting, just because... one of those things that it had to happen. you know, the man of sin had to be revealed.
I believe different things that we've done in this ministry have been benchmark watershed events, but in my own personal life, I look at that revealing the man of sin as a major revelation for me, anyway.
I think so.
And I think you're right. I think that's when things started to rock and roll. Because now it says the day of the Lord would not come until that man was revealed. Well, he was revealed. And he's that dirty bird perched up there in the rafters, as it is in that X-File.
Yep.
And, you know, talking about the dirty bird, going clear back to that thing, I want to make a real fast comment. Jesus said where the corpse is, there the vultures are. You know, the people became dead in Christ, and now the vultures have settled in. Dirty birds. Back to you.
Well, that it's interesting. And the Book of Enoch puts together a pretty good section on the dirty birds. I think it was talks about at the beginning. There's a chapter that talks about Abraham, and wasn't it Abraham that was talked about in that first chapter of Enoch?
Don't remember.
Well, it was interesting because his first job, it talks about him as a boy, and his first job was to, when they were planting the seeds in their garden, the birds kept coming down and eating up all their seeds. So that was Abraham's first job, was to go out there and to chase the birds off from coming and eating the seeds. And if you look through there and just see the correlation between what happened with these dirty birds, these giants, these demons, you know, and what these fallen angels did and what they brought to Earth and the things that they set up and that they taught people that were supposed to be secrets, it's really quite interesting read. I think we should do some more looking at these watchers and talk more on them, because that's something that's starting to get talked about more out there in the world, is these watchers as well.
Good point.
Yeah, have everything to do with personal salvation. You know, I mean, those dirty birds, you know, that come in and they take that seed, that's the seed that is sown on the wayside, you know, and the dirty birds come down and, I mean, it has everything to do with whether that seed takes hold, you know, and grows up and bears fruit. You know, I mean, these dirty birds that Jason's talking about, you know, back in that Book of Enoch, you know, I mean, that's the dirty birds that the Antichrist that was walking around in the days of Jesus, you know, that's the same dirty birds that are here now and perched on the pulpits.
Yes.
Well, and wasn't it the cockatrice? Wasn't it the cockatrice that was a half bird and a half? Was it a serpent?
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting. If you go up to the Capitol building up in Cheyenne, they got pictures of cockatrices all over their walls. And on the outside of the building, if you walk around the building, it's one of those, stone-worked, I guess they made molds and poured it or something. I don't know exactly how they made them, but they got carvings in the sides of the building, on the Capitol building and in the Federal building, and they're all cockatrices, half birds, half serpents.
Interesting. Very interesting. Boy, you can't say we don't talk outside the box, can you, Richard?
No, not at all. I'd like to just finish my little part, if I could, reading from 2 Peter 3, if that's all right.
That'd be great. By the way, I think that part you read in Proverbs is really good, particularly the part that says, then you'll have your healing.
Yeah, trust in the Lord. Read His Word tells us. In 2 Peter 3, the subheading in the King James is Christ's coming. So, you know, if we want to know what it's going to be like, we don't have to go to the, you know, the false prophets. We can go right to the Word. And it says down in 10 in the New American Standard, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? So we know that his people will get through this. And it tells us how to be. Looking for and hastening, asking for the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless. And so, as these days come on, we talk about, will he find faith? We need to be in peace about these things and not be fretting, not be worrying. And how are we spotless and blameless? Only in Christ. But we are to be at peace when these things come.
I think there's much more to that subject of peace than we realize, because it's like, Lord, do you believe in me? You think I got this under control? Then stop your worrying.
Yeah.
Well, men, we're getting right down to the wire. We got about 4 minutes left, so that will start wrapping things up. Charismatic Kyle.
Well, I was just thinking here, a long time ago you brought several sermons about overcoming, and you asked the audience, I think it was at a camp, and you asked the audience what was the most important thing the person needed to overcome, Well, the answer ended up being you needed something to overcome, to be an overcomer. Well, and I keep thinking about healings and miracles, If we're going to have great healings and miracles again, that means we're going to have things that aren't looking too good right now. You're going to have sick. You're going to have ailments and afflictions. Because without those things, you won't have those great healings. And the miracles that's going to happen, I have no idea what the miracles are going to be, but I do believe they're coming back. And for there to be miracles, we're going to have situations that don't look too good. It's like you said, Pastor, maybe we'll even see limbs grow back on people. Who knows what it can be. But, you were talking the other day to me and Jason about the unseen. Things don't look too good in certain areas of certain people's lives and everything. Well, maybe that's just setting up for the greatness that's going to happen. Anyway, I was just thinking about that when you mentioned healings a while ago and out of that proverb.
Good point. What do you think, Richard? You got something summary?
I think so. We need to look to his word. His word is truth. Our eyes will deceive us. Our feelings will lie to us. But when we can go to his word, tells us how to be and what to do as husbands, what to do as fathers, what to do as men of God and women of God. And that's what we need to where we need to go for our strength in these days.
Jason.
Well, I think was thinking about that song. I like that song an awful lot that says standing on the promises, and that's what we need to do, is stand on the promises, claim the promises for us. We have victory in Jesus, and greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us, but when Christ returns, will he find faith in him? We just want to be found fighting, fighting for what is right, coming against sin, and
Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith? Well, I find that we're about out of time. Men, good job. Appreciate you being there. Appreciate you people out there making this Radio Ranch Wrangler broadcasting possible through your prayers and your tithes and your offerings. We're going to go out with our little going out theme song, Snake Hide. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are his, bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, lift his countenance upon you, and grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
this country's stolen.
keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, they hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them.
Just curses.